Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Parenting Month, powerful parenting month, and we have two powerful parents on the phone. Close personal friends of mine, Lifebook veterans, just all around badasses, Renee and Akira Chan are on the phone. How are you guys doing?
Really good. Hi, everyone.
And hi.
Jordan, it's great to be talking to you.
Yes.
Thank you guys for taking the time to do this. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, our pleasure. We actually found a moment to sneak away from our parenting duties to things like this.
We'll see. We're in the bedroom with the door locked, so we'll see if we get any child noises, toddler noises.
It's perfectly appropriate. I think that if any VIP interview is going to be interrupted by a child, the parenting interview would be the appropriate one.
And on brand.
we do appreciate you guys taking time because you guys are, I mean, you're incredibly busy. You guys create art. You guys are running a company together. You guys are trying to cultivate the extraordinary love relationship that you have to even higher levels. And you just had a kid not too long ago. I know all this. The listener might not. Could you guys briefly talk about your love history and then your recent transition into parenthood?
Yep. Do you want to?
Yep.
Akira's just kind of looking at me.
It's funny how things go. Like the moment you have a kid, everything that came before really just becomes a blur.
Where were we? When was that? Akira and I met at a yoga studio in Encinitas, California about 9 years ago. And we were really close friends. We actually had a very creative connection from the beginning, and we got together to work on various different creative projects and always had a crush on each other. But we were very shy. It was like we were just like 14, 15 year olds around each other. And we always kind of wondered, is this my person? And then we circled back around to each other. We ended up moving from Encinitas to different areas, and then ran into each other at an event about almost 6 years ago.
Yeah. Now. And continued to run into each other
at
different times. And it was just a sign from the universe and ourselves that it was our time to be together.
Yeah.
And we did. We came back together. We had our first kiss on a pretty auspicious day. I had just filmed my really good friend's birth, home birth of their son. So I was in this alternate universe having just filmed and witnessed the
birth. See, we had the baby energy there right at the beginning.
Yeah. And then went straight from there to a friend's birthday party where Renee happened to be. And it was just a very magical gathering. And Renee and I finally had a chance to just really take a look at each other and just go, you know what? We've been in love for a long time.
Yeah.
And now life has put us in a place where we can finally be together and be lovers and be partners. So we had our first kiss and we were still, it was still kind of nerve-wracking.
It was nerve-wracking. Oh my God. Akira was so nervous. He was shaking so bad. That was so cute. But you know, we were really blessed. Akira and I were able to spend several years, together traveling and also creating the company that we now run, Rare Media. Akira's been a filmmaker since teenage years. And in my industry, I was a speaker and an expert, mostly in women's empowerment and healing. But we basically realized that we had a very similar group of friends. And so through our mutual, kind of industry and with Akira's talents as a filmmaker and mine is kind of operations, CEO. We just joined forces and created Rare Media. So we're on the road filming, creating video modules for our various different clients. And at age 44, we found out that we were pregnant. And it was definitely a surprise pregnancy, but the little baby was actually conceived at the Lifebook headquarters.
That is a powerful omen.
Was it the love and sex room? It was all auspicious. The whole thing was very auspicious.
So we've done our Lifebooks. I think we've done four Lifebook sessions, right?
Yes, we've done three.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've done three life book sessions. We've produced three different life books, and we did it as a fairly new couple. Was the first time we did life book together as a couple, which was a really powerful experience. And as you know, there's the parenting category is like, it's for everyone. If whether you want to have kids, whether you have kids already, or you're surrounded by parents, there's so much great stuff to look at in that category. So it was just interesting to have the opportunity to do that parenting category twice, not being parents.
Well, and I was very resistant, honestly, to the parenting category, because I actually didn't want to have children. But I shouldn't say I didn't want to, but it was not a necessary, you know, for me in this life, as far as I could conceive, you know, at that time. But I knew that Akira really wanted to be a father. So that category for me, the first life book that Akira and I did together really, really stretched me. And, it was actually at the time that we were doing the parenting category that I said, okay, I'm going to actually open myself up to the possibility that I might be a parent, you know, through this relationship. So we had a very defining moment actually with the parenting category, and continued to, you know, over the next couple years. And we had actually been pregnant the year before. We were pregnant with Osiris and had a miscarriage. So I feel like kind of for a couple years, we were really working, you know, that parenting category was getting worked through us, I guess, I should say.
It's one of those categories where you think you don't want it.
Yes.
You think you don't want it until you do, or until it happens. and then it changes, man. I mean, it might be the most dynamic category in a couple different sure. ways, but you guys built this amazing love relationship. You built this amazing business together. You've created all this amazing art. I know that kind of defined you guys for a while, and then bam, now you're parents. Talk to me about that transition.
Yeah.
It's the big one. Well, I'll just start off with, for me, the transition, you know, really happened at the very beginning of the pregnancy. And I was actually there, Jordan, at your baby's baby shower in Chicago. And I was not feeling very well. And I had this fleeting thought, which was, oh my goodness, I actually wonder if I'm pregnant right now. And it turns out I was. For me, something just happened biologically where I felt like it was time for me to really go inwards and kind of isolate myself, if you will. And so you spoke to the point that Akira and I were very much traveling around the world, you know, super social, like our business and our friendships, everything just, you know, kind of blended in together into one pot. And now here I was pregnant. And so I actually stopped traveling after I got pregnant and really went into a very deep inner journey, while Akira was the one that was managing and running the business more, which I think that was our first kind of major shift that we went through as parents.
Yeah, I mean, up until the pregnancy, Renee and I were running our business and traveling all over. I mean, I look at our Airbnb history, and I think there's over 30 rentals during a two-year time period, because we were we're running a production company, so we would have the luxury to go film somewhere and then stay there for a couple weeks or a month, and then that was our lifestyle, and it was very exciting.
Yeah.
And as soon as we realized that, you know, we've got these 9 months or so to figure out where we want to have the baby, where we're going to live and raise him for the first few years, or the first year in our case, we weren't ready to fully settle down yet. And that really changes everything. And I'd have to say that, you know, we were pretty good about making those decisions together and settling them into them very quickly.
Do you think your life book help you with that?
Yeah,
I do. Yeah,
I really do. I mean, yeah, I look at the life book entries and parenting I had before we got pregnant. And my vision for being a parent was to bring my child into a family and into an environment that felt very loving and also felt stable and nourishing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the mode that I went into. You know, mm-hmm. we made a pretty big life shift in terms of our lifestyles to really prepare and just bring him into, you know, an environment that just felt really good and welcoming.
Jordan, we had no rental history for the last 3 years when we filled out our application for our house, where we ended up having Osiris. But we did bring all of our Airbnb receipts. Like, I mean, it was really like, you know, like full steam ahead. And then, okay, you know, here we are in this family home, but it was really beautiful. We knew the OBGYN that we wanted, you know, to deliver Osiris. We had a very specific intentions that we wanted to bring into the birth. You know, we did know that there's a lot of different dynamics that have to come together during, you know, bringing a child into the world, the actual labor process. So we weren't super attached to, you know, like home birth or, you know, exactly what type of delivery it would be. But what we were attached to is the energy and the intentions, you know, mm-hmm. that we were going to have towards all of it. So we wanted Osiris to be born in Encinitas. There's just, you know, some certain values and energies that we wanted to be added, you know, to his life with being birthed there. So we decided to settle in there for a year. And I think it was a wonderful choice that we made. And I think also, you know, for Akira and I, it was a nice shift in our love relationship as well, because we got to kind of meet each other on this other level of, okay, well, now here it's just us here in this house, mm-hmm. you know, whereas, you know, prior to that, I would say that our love energy was always super activated because we were always doing something exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, we were, you know, traveling at our events and working and creating on really exciting projects. And we mostly cleared our production plate so that we were only focusing on a couple different projects and we could really focus on being slow and, you know, being with each other. And then, of course, if Akira needed to travel, he did that while I stayed back. But I feel like for Akira and I, we fell into a really nice cadence together such that whenever we were planning for the postnatal process after Osiris's delivery, we knew that we both primarily wanted to be home with each other and to be with the baby for several months after he was delivered. So we were very specific on, you know, who was going to bring us food, who we were going to invite over to the home. I mean, we didn't even have our parents at the house for a couple months, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like that move, that you don't realize after a birth, having just gone through one, having just done one myself a couple of years ago. you don't realize, seriously though, you don't realize after the birth the kind of respite you need. And it's not just respite away from, you know, like work. It's respite away from everyone and everything. You need like solitude and healing. It's very strange. Yes. It's not, hey mom, I don't love you. It's there's something deep biological in you calling out, saying like, rest, be alone. I don't want to see anyone, be alone, rest. Yeah. You know, does that make sense?
It does. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's been practiced for centuries, more so in other cultures, like in Eastern cultures, Chinese and Indian cultures. They have a period they call the sacred window, and it can be 40 days. It could even be longer, but it's, you know, it's a time of confinement in a way. It's a time of just deep bonding and renourishment, mainly for the mother. Wow. But we decided to do it together.
Together.
And it's a period where it's just about renourishing your body, connecting with your child, and having very little exposure to the outside world and really easing into that. Mm-hmm. And it's the complete opposite of bringing your newborn baby out, you know, to have the parents and everyone come to visit and taking them out on walks, and you're just in your own space. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that we educated ourselves on that and decided to try that and make it happen, despite being so busy at the time and having so many other obligations.
Yeah. And I mean, that was a real learning experience unto itself, because we had a fantasy. This was my fantasy. Jordan, I actually bought matching robes for the whole family. And I was like,
monogrammed? Were they monogrammed?
They weren't, maybe if they would have been, it could have shifted the trajectory.
I would have laid money.
Because what happened was I had these amazing robes, and Akira and I had this vision of, oh, we're going to be cuddled in bed for like a month, and it's going to be so amazing. And so we're just going to be cuddled with our baby. It's going to be this like sweet, precious, relaxing time. And lo and behold, our son has severe colic for 6 months.
How did he repay you? How did he repay you for all that work and all that preparation and all those gifts? You guys had a really tough start, right? Did you ever get a diagnosis? Did you ever like really get to the bottom of it?
Such a tough start. I just think it was colic.
Just colic. You know? He was just a tough baby to start with.
Our son is extraordinarily intelligent and very perceptive. So let me just backtrack in weaving into the parenting category into the scenario. Akira and I, because again, we had very specific ways and that we wanted to interact with our son so that we could have the outcome of a very close-knit family and raising a really healthy child, we knew that that was going to begin in the womb. So we really started a relationship with Osiris from day one that we found out that I was pregnant.
That's so
nice. I mean, he was automatically included in all of our conversations and decisions. We were talking to him on a daily basis. You know, I was singing to him. We really became a family the day that we found out that we were pregnant. So I'm sharing this because this could have been one of the things that ended up having Osiris be such a vocal and expressive soul.
He was already, so be careful. Use it at your own risk because they're going to come out.
I know, because we took him into a pediatrician at like 2.5 months old. And he said, oh, I need to do a perception test on him, because he could just tell the way that he was, you know, looking around the room that maybe his intellect was a little bit higher. And he tested at like a 9 month old or something like that, like at 2.5 months. And he's been, you know, an early walker, an early talker. You know, if Akira and I go back and we kind of replay those first 6 months, I truly think that it's just that he's such a perceptive soul and really was just getting acclimated to his body and didn't know how to react, you know, to being in his physical body. So, you know, crying was just his go-to. But, you know, most parents, Jordan, this was the feedback that Akira and I were getting. It's really challenging becoming new parents. I mean, straight away, we all know that. But then you add the dynamic, we actually ended up having a C-section birth. It was this whole like kind of long drawn out saga that happened in our particular birth. You know, I was at home recovering on the sofa, a 44-year-old, you know, new mom, the kid has colic. Mm-hmm. And I've got to tell you that, you know, people were just looking at Akira and I like, how are you guys doing this? And how is your relationship surviving this?
Totally.
And we got closer through everything. Mm. We did legitimately, I don't even think we had, did we even have like an argument or a disagreement through those first several months?
No, we faced those enormous challenges right from the, you know, from the birth on, the challenging birth. Thankfully, he was healthy. We all came out of it okay. But then going from that into colic. Mm-hmm. So Renee's recovering from the emergency C-section, and colic, you know, for people who've had it, they definitely know what it is. For those who don't, it's just the baby will crying
to like 15 hours a day.
Yeah. And it's, you know, they don't know what exactly causes it. And you can't do you can't do much, but just wait it out.
Yeah. And it can be a diet related. And then there's a whole other, you know, category of things.
Yeah. There's books and books on the subject. Like you said, it's it's not very well understood, but what do you attribute your success to? Because I remember talking to you guys during that period. I remember, Akira, you were reaching out to me for help, and I felt so, I gave you what advice I could, but I felt so helpless myself because I didn't really have much advice to offer. And I remember hearing your voice. And you know that feeling you get when you're talking to somebody and then you realize that they're like mentally unstable? It was kind of the same realization I got talking to Akira, because it was clear you hadn't slept. Like in, you know, who knows how long. So you just had the voice. You were like, like, oh God.
That's very true. What to do. Yeah.
Akira's lost his mind. But you were so calm. I've always admired, I guess it would be your character. You never were bitching or lashing out or doing anything like that. It was clear that you had lost your mind, but you had still held on to your dignity and your character.
Lack of sleep will do that to you.
What supporting categories do you think got you through that and kind of kept you in that space where you weren't lashing out at each other? You were getting closer. Was it your love relationship that was so strong? I know you're big into health and fitness. What helped you through that?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like our love and relationship category, just some of the ways, like our connection rituals and the whole process leading up to the birth, we really went deep into that because it was just us. I mean, the moment you become pregnant as a couple, you step into this transformational tunnel, this passageway in towards a place you just don't know who you're going to end up as or how you're going to end up being once you go through that portal. Yeah. You know, you're going through your own birth portal as a parent. And what you don't realize is happening below the surface is you're pulling up your things you haven't reconciled in your own identity, your own character. You're questioning your values and your lifestyle. I was questioning my work habits and, you know, how am I going to be available as a father? How am I going to be available, more available emotionally, physically, in all realms for Renee, my partner? And it's an amazing transformational process. So for me, it was certainly, looking at myself and my character, knowing that I was going to have a son who would be looking to me for those things. And as well as my, the spiritual category was big for me as well, because there's a lot of faith you need to have. There's a lot of, I had to stay grounded and connected to, what I believed in and what my hopes were, just getting ready to step into this big unknown. And that was very helpful because you just don't know how it's going to go or how your life's going to change. And, there's some shocking statistics that most parents, I think it's almost nearly many parents, nearly 40% of relationships don't stay together after childbirth, having a child.
I know. Isn't that just incredible?
That is higher than you'd think. Wow.
Yeah,
it's shocking, but that's due to the stress, just the natural challenge, the challenges that are actually just a part of becoming parents and bringing life into the world. It stresses you financially. It could stress you in so many different ways. So I think it's more important than ever to really take a look at your life and all areas of it in preparation to becoming a parent, because if you've done some of that work, then you can almost get through anything.
Agree. Yeah. You know, and I think what was another big thing is just having basic needs met. You know, I mean, I know that sounds a little bit silly, but in our case, it was very true. You know, I needed to have rejuvenating foods around me. You know, I needed to have rejuvenating tonics. You know, we had hired somebody in advance to be there with us who, you know, was bringing me these yummy meals in the hospital, you know, who was there massaging my feet. You know, we had an acupuncturist that we hired in advance. So, at the time, Akira and I didn't realize this, but, you know, the kind of the preparation that we went through for the actual labor and then the postpartum process is now something that we're incorporating into the new work that we're bringing into the world, which we can talk about later too, through the show called Little Humans. But, yes, you know, just having some of, you know, like the moms and dads' basic needs met, so that you can show up in your best form for this new child, you know, that's come into the world. And like, hey, listen, definitely my best form at that time was probably a 3 out of 10 because I was exhausted. But you know what? It's better than a 0 out of 10. Like all those little things helped, you know, our yes, friends setting up a meal train for us. You know, Akira getting a little bit of, you know, revival energy one day and being able to come in and, you know, rub my hair and mm-hmm, rub my feet or whatever it is, you know, just taking care of those like really basic needs. And then I also feel for Akira and I, we were so damn devoted to creating from the very beginning a safe, predictable, inspiring, and loving environment for our son, no matter what. Mm. Like that was just non-negotiable. You know, I mean, there were many times that I wanted to fall, break down, scream. I did not know what to do, you know, with the screaming child. You know, I'm breastfeeding around the clock, recovering from, you know, the surgery, et cetera. And I just, you know, something within myself at core level, I just felt a resilience that existed there because of the big promise and devotion that we had towards creating a stable environment for Osiris. And that just kind of overrode everything, you know?
Mm-hmm. I love that. Is it about having your priorities right and then really sticking to them? You know what I mean?
I think so.
There's so many things looking to pull you and show you how to do it and what to do next and what you need to be doing. But it seems like you guys kind of figured out your own thing and then went off of that.
I think, like the non-negotiables, I think that's really, really important. Like, I mean, I think our first one was, you know, the environment, you know, mm-hmm, really the environment that we're going to create so that we can show
really
up.
Great.
And then it kind of went to, you know, what are our environments and, you know, our needs. Yep. And then, you know, I mean, and also Jordan, for us, you know, we took a little bit of a risk, and I understand that, you know, different couples and families are going to work in different ways. Akira and I had such a strong love foundation that going into this, we both knew that the love category for us was probably not going to be the priority for like a while.
Right.
But we were both so completely on board and trusting of that, because we had put in, you know, many, many good years to that being the complete priority. So I think we felt we had a foundation that we could rely upon. Where, you know, maybe some of the energy that we would have put into going on dates or, you know, some of like the ritual connections, we did temporarily kind of override those, I would say.
Yeah, they all
overall health of the family,
right.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of funny to look at a life book pre-parenthood.
Yes, it is.
So like Renee just mentioned, let's say love rituals or social life. Social life
for sure. Yeah.
You know? I mean, I think what might have been, you know, meeting incredible people and traveling the world and having an amazing community of artists and creative people
has now turned into the best nanny.
having a good nanny care, being surrounded by other parents mm-hmm. and other families who are inspiring us.
Right.
And, you know, these things transform. So I think as much as it's about knowing what your priorities are and what your, you know, what your vision is for all of these life categories, it's being adaptable and mm-hmm. being open to shifting that for the greater good of not just yourselves as parents, but for your family unit. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's been powerful to see these things transform in my life.
I think that there's, you know, I've kind of observed three main phases in life, and people progress through throughout them at different rates, and sometimes they stay in one forever. But let me kind of drop this little theory, and it fits with you guys well, because you are very, although you're very mature, kind of intellectually and personality wise, you also have lived very, very, very youthful lives, the way you've lived your lives. So let me try to elaborate this.
Okay.
In the younger phase, it's kind of like what you guys were talking about with your, let's be honest, it's like a dream millennial lifestyle. It's all about freedom. You're traveling all the time. You're usually making good money in these types of life visions. It's all about input. You're meeting new people. New things are coming in. You're having experiences. It's all about input and freedom. At a certain point, usually when you have kids, maybe start a company, or some people enter this way too young and they're just like mature, you know, like workers. At a certain point, you start to build. You stop focusing on input and receiving experiences, and you actually start to build in a space. Usually starts with a family, and you're starting to compile your life. What the shift you just described in your life book really illustrated that. Instead of meeting new people for your social life and having these new experiences, you're now looking to find the best nanny who hopefully will be such a badass that they're going to be with you for the rest of their life. You know what I mean? That's the kind of building phase. And then I think there's another one after that. When I speak to, you know, people like my dad, people that you work with, like Joe Polish, which is you start to, once you've built a lot, you start to look towards more philosophical things, giving back, higher minded stuff as you enter the kind of elder phases of your life. I'm in that building phase. I feel like you guys are kind of, with your new projects, blowing right into the philosophical phase as well. But you've clearly made that transition to where you're now building your own life. And again, I don't want to disparage any. I think some people stay in that youthful life and just live a brilliant, glowing, crazy life. And you can't fault them for that. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is, it's not like a painful shift in your life book from now, I don't get to, you know, go be free anymore. I want to be doing this stuff, man. I can't, sitting down and playing Xbox is no longer part of my life book. Not because I don't even want to play the games anymore. It's that my inner desires are focused elsewhere. I'm looking to build. You just don't want the same things you used to.
Absolutely. I fully agree. And I think you really hit that spot on. You know, a present moment example of that actually is, you know, now we're finding ourselves, we've just woven, you know, all of our interests together. And obviously that includes, you know, Osiris. So it's like creativity, business, love, family, and legacy, you know, all rolled into one, which is what we're creating with our kind of parenting app and show Little Humans. And a part of that is very specific travel that is serving the purpose of the content and is serving the purpose of the brand. And within that travel, we get to meet and connect with a lot of other, you know, modern day families that have our same interests. And so that type of travel and that type of experience is now what we're craving versus, you know, in the past, which was just very much, you know, like you were saying, kind more of like, okay, well, this sounds
right.
Let's just go to Paris and, you know, kiss at the Louvre Bridge, which is amazing. And I do hope that we do that again in the future, you know, just a couple. But, you know, right now in the moment, we're driven, you know, by other things that are satisfying our soul, you know,
totally.
On levels.
Yeah. And I feel like it's always a step forward. If you're living consciously and you're in good relationships, it's always better if you want it to be. So yeah, I love that. I feel like now would be a good time before we move on to some other questions. Why don't we talk about your projects really quick? Talk about Little Humans, talk about all the work that you're doing in the field of parenting.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we became parents, when we became pregnant, it became clear to me that I wanted to focus on doing a film around parenting. And it was kind of a result of us looking around and not finding any good resources, like not finding any great documentaries or films. There are plenty of books, but there was no one very inspiring piece of media that we were, you know, we were discovering as parents.
Or so, even any communities that had curated content that really connected with us. It's like maybe you would find a good set of steps, but within these set of steps, just like the languaging that was being used and, you know, some of the attitudes and the values were just like not aligned, you know, with us at all. I mean, we come from a very personal development kind of, you know, spiritual awakening, you know, background and interest. And we just couldn't find anything that was really aligned with that.
Yeah. So we started to talk to people and interview them even during the pregnancy. The specialists, the people who, you know, had been raising families in interesting ways, and just really learning for ourselves, but knowing that all of this content and information would be valuable for other parents as well. And that then evolved into deciding to take on an entire documentary film project on parenting and the different ways people parent, the developmental stages of children, what children need the most right now. And it was really our way of taking, you know, our business and our focus and our lifestyle and all bringing it all into where we were currently in life, which was starting to, you know, getting on this journey of parenthood. Right. So that has now evolved into an entire series where we've interviewed nearly 20 people so far on parenting, all aspects of parenting, education, children. And it's called Little Humans. And we're really excited to release it. We're right in the middle of production right now as we speak. But things are going really well. And it's our personal education as parents. And it's also going to be very useful and valuable for anyone who gets to experience it.
Yeah. So it's basically, we do, it's kind of separate projects. We have a documentary that we'll be releasing in the fall. And then we have a show that will be released through the Mind Valley platform that will be released towards the end of the summer. So we actually have partnered with Vision from Mind Valley on Little Humans. So we are working in conjunction with them right now to transition this, what is now a show called Little Humans, that will be transitioned into an actual parenting app by the beginning of next year. So there will be lots of different things that will be available. You know, right now the content is in the structure of a show, but we'll be branching out and having, for instance, we're going to be interviewing John and Missy and the family members who are out in Croatia next month for a roundtable interview. So we'll start having, you know, various different types of media with modern day families and just really digging into, you know, what's new and needed right now in education, what's new and needed with creativity, what are some of the diverse ways that families are raising their children, how do we, you know, keep our children connected to the earth while also accelerating in technology. You know, there's just so many interesting questions that we have to answer, you know, in modern day parenting that never existed, you know, there in the past, including that the family dynamics are just so different, you know, with like blended families and co-parenting and same-sex families and, you know, et cetera. There's obviously a lot of ground that we can cover, and we've been having a really, really good time with it.
That's great. I love it. It's great to hear that you're partnered with Mind Valley. We're all working together here. It's exciting. We're like, it's really, really cool.
It's personal development applied to the family unit, to just put it in simple terms.
That's great. I am all about that right now. The work I'm doing with Lifebook, Mind Valley, and Joel Wade is just all kind of swirling around, and it really makes me quite happy. Keep us up to date on that. And let's make sure to, of course, do a Lifebook Loves as soon as it launches.
Absolutely. You.
But listen, we've already gone pretty far. I feel like we could do 2 hours, but we should probably wrap it up at the hour mark. If you guys have time to answer these last two questions, I've got two powerful questions I would love to get your take on.
Great.
Well, first of all, what specific strategies and principles do you have for couples who might be listening right now, looking to have it all in their life, a powerful business, a strong love life, and a happy, thriving family? Do you have any real tools, tricks, principles, beliefs that you can impart onto them?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll each give our our input on that.
Perfect. I do feel like having the relationship rituals is pretty critical, especially, you know, during the times that you're really building the relationship collateral. You know, so for us, that was, you know, prior to having Osiris, and now obviously they've shifted and changed. But, you know, for us, we were doing our life book yearly, you know, and also revisiting it multiple times a year. That was, I think, one of our critical tools that we used to stay aligned. And every day we would have, you know, our rituals of meditating together, of just sitting down and asking what our priorities were, like each individually for the day, and if there was any way that we could help each other, you know, achieve individually. And then also the business, you know, priorities, and just coming together and, you know, making sure that we were on the same page with that. And, you know, we always have loved our love and creativity dates. You know, creativity is something that Akira and I have put high priority on in our relationship. And I do think that that's one of the things that has kept us youthful. And I appreciate you sharing millennial type lifestyle, Jordan, because I am 45 almost now.
Well, I forget that. If I can compliment you further, that is a fact is so I commonly young. Forget. Absolutely, yeah. Renee.
My spirit is very, very young. 100%. You know, and I really attribute it, you know, to, you know, Akira and I really kind of prioritizing, you know, our creativity, whether if it's painting together, you know, or getting together and doing 5-minute drawing, you know, rituals, going outside and taking photos of each other, just because we want to see each other through the camera. You know, it's not like even taking photos because they have to be used professionally, but it's just different ways of having unique perspectives, you know, with each other. So yeah, I think that's a really big one.
Yeah. And since Renee shared, you know, what we did as a couple, I'll share a strategy that I had just as an individual parent, you know, stepping into parenthood, especially from a father's perspective.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, Renee's carrying the baby. She's growing the baby. Let's face it, you know, the mother and the father have very different roles during pregnancy and once the baby's born. And for me, it was taking a really good look at myself. So I reread my emotional life category, the character category, the career category as well. I think I reviewed most of my life book and really got clear on who I was, where I've been, and who I was now, you know, knowing that I was going to my identity was going to be forever changed once I became a father. And for me, that was very valuable. I looked at a lot of the habits and rituals and routines I had been doing each day and started to ask myself, like, is this still necessary, you know, when I become a parent? Like, how much time am I going to give to myself versus, you know, my new family? I looked at my emotional health and things that I, you know, was planning to work on and going, well, you know, can I work on these things now and be that person and be ready when my son comes into the world? What will he conclude from watching me do certain things, say certain things, act in a certain way? And I really took, you know, that time during our pregnancy to take a good look at myself and just review all these categories on a very personal level, knowing that I didn't want to have a lot of unanswered questions when it came to myself and my own identity, my, you know, my vision for career, my vision for lifestyle.
Yeah.
When we had the baby out in the world and we're just, you know, keeping up with him and jumping into this whole, you know, this whole new world. So that was my process, and I'm really glad that I did it. And it's been nice to see other dads also doing that in anticipation of becoming parents.
Yeah, and Akira, I think that I love that you're talking about that, babe, because that's so the rite of passage, you know, type work. And Akira actually went to a men's retreat this was, I think, only like 3 weeks before
we had towards the end of our pregnancy.
Yeah. And it was just so beautiful. He went out into the mountains and just had this incredible experience with a group of men, and several of them actually were fathers or getting ready to become fathers. So they just had kind of some intimate, you know, support and guidance and advice for each other that seemed really useful, you know, during that time.
That's right. Yeah, you know, setting up the baby's room, buying diapers, getting all the things is important, but more important is the inner work that you will do during this precious time between not being a parent and then being a parent for life.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and you really hit on the head there, because one of our reasons, you know, for getting into this was as soon as people found out we were pregnant, it's like we got inundated with all this stuff that we needed to buy. And I think it's really unfortunate that so much of the focus of pregnancy and, you know, being new parents or just being parents in general, it's like we're getting taken over with conversations around consumerism.
Yes.
And it's so much deeper than that. You know, I mean, Akira and I were really looking at this, like he was sharing, like, you know, a rites of passage, you know, what are the things that we can do internally to really ultimately make this work? You know, some things that we did a little bit differently was Akira actually had physical touch, you know, skin to skin with Osiris before I did. And that was something that I intentionally did on my part because I knew that Osiris was going to be very connected to me, you know, from having been in my body, and also that I was going to be breastfeeding him. And Akira and I very, very much wanted to be co-parents. You know, we were going into this as, you know, 50-50, you know, like equal co-parent. So he had skin to skin before I did. I mean, I did very soon, you know, immediately after that. And then we also made it such that Akira would feed him, you know, like a would nurse him or not nurse him, would feed him, that'd be interesting, would feed him with a bottle of my breast milk.
Right.
So that he was, you know, really daily getting that experience of fathering, you know, with Osiris in that way, so that we could share some of those responsibilities from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, we designed what we wanted the whole kind of prenatal and postnatal process to look like. And we really, you know, we stuck with it. We stuck with creating the environments that we knew we needed to have in order to have a close, safe, and loving family.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love that. Well, what do you say to those who are listening right now that may be afraid to dream big, or they have some sort of belief that they have to sacrifice one area of their life for happiness in another? As a prime example of a power couple, what advice do you have to those who are worried about this sort of thing?
Yeah.
I would say just when you encounter challenges, step into them together and hold on tightly. Mm-hmm. Even if you're doubting that, if that's not, doesn't feel like the natural reaction you want to have, if it feels like outside stresses are pulling you apart, just use that strategy to step into the ring together, hold each other as tightly as possible, and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Because that was our experience, mm-hmm. you know, with a unexpectedly long labor and C-section and recovery, and then going through 6 months of our son crying and being very uncomfortable. You know, we could have easily, our relationship could have easily fallen apart. Yeah. We could have checked out. Our career and our business could have taken a massive hit, but we stepped in and we just held on really tight.
And like, I really truly don't even think that we would do it different just mm-hmm. because we just met each other at such deeper levels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think what I would share to that is that everything has a season. You know, I think sometimes that we overwhelm ourselves with, you know, needing to be like, okay, all the categories are a 10 out of 10 right now.
Right.
So that means I'm winning. And it's like, wow,
that's a good point.
That's amazing too, you know, but sometimes it's like being okay with the pause, you know, being okay with the, you know, what could be perceived discomfort if maybe one of the areas is just not your primary focus right now. You know, it doesn't mean that it's going to completely go away unless you do something, you know, to sabotage it, or you deliberately, you know, are trying to annihilate right. like a certain area. It's like sometimes, you know, like for Akira and I, as we mentioned, it's like the specific, you know, love rituals and, you know, the dating and the creativity dates, et cetera, those, you know, it hasn't been the season of our lives where those have been, you know, completely alive, and it's okay. And we can be mature in saying, it doesn't mean that we don't still love each other. It doesn't mean that we're not completely in love. It just means that we're showing up differently, right now in love. So I think just removing, you know, the need to have everything perfect, you know, to think mm-hmm. that you're being successful is a big one.
Yeah. And the one thing I'll add that should be, you know, relevant to families with kids of all ages is that we've redesigned our life, our business, the way we do things to be inclusive of our son and yes. our new family dynamic. And that's because we've seen amazing parents, mm-hmm. especially including John and Missy, and your family mm-hmm. who have found ways to bring the children into what yes. they are already doing
yes.
and to live a very full life while including the, you know, while not compromising in yeah. that way. So families who are involving their kids with their businesses and letting them learn based on their curiosities and if, you know, and studying and learning about the world through immersion mm-hmm. and travel and encouraging passion and bringing right. everyone in together. So yeah. that's been, you know, I would say that that's probably what I've discovered to be mm-hmm. the most rewarding thing is yeah. this new way of parenting that includes, you know, everyone. And
yeah.
we're experiencing life in a new way just as much as he is. And he's guiding us in many ways.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. For people out there that might be, you know, thinking, because it sounds probably if I would be listening to this, I'd be like, wow, you know, maybe these people have this amount of money or this amount of privilege, or, you know, it's like all these different things that can be projected out there. I would just love to share that we have only had very part-time nanny help. We didn't, you know, actually have much nanny help at all for the first several months of Osiris's life. But, you know, building this new brand and still running the production company, this has been with, you know, around 15 hours of nanny help a week. And that's because we are prioritizing spending time with our son. We personally don't want to miss out, you know, on the milestones. We want to have a lot of daily interaction with him. And like Akira was speaking into, we have made our lifestyle, you know, around being a family. So there doesn't have to be all of those big disconnects where, you know, we have to completely be away from Osiris for 8 hours a day, you know, in order to feel like we need to get done what we need to get done. You know, we have built our life and our business around, we are going to spend time with our son, and what we get done is what we're going to get done, because the priority is having a life, you know, and having a family. And there are ways to make all of this work.
Love it. Love it, guys. Thank you so much for doing this. This was an episode packed full of good advice. Rare Media, for the listeners who are interested in your work, where can we send them?
Yeah, absolutely. So we love creating videos, films, and doing media with authors and entrepreneurs and people who have big messages for the world. And we do that through our company, which is Rare Media, and raremedia.tv is our website. And this very special project related to parenting, which will be released as a documentary film and as a parenting platform on Mindvalley, is called Little Humans. Mm-hmm. And that will be coming soon. So just keep up with us And we have a lot of exciting stuff coming.
Love it. Love it. Everybody check that out. Thank you all for listening. Love all you Lifebook members. This is Renee and Akira and Jordan River signing off, saying thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.
Bye.
Bye.